Hi, I'm Lori.
Hi, I'm Cyrilyn, and welcome to the Rogue Monkey Podcast.
This week is our 90th episode, and we've got two fantastic guests joining us. Lori and Cyrilyn are a mother and daughter duo who take us on an incredible journey that started when Lori was just 9 years old. She wrote a letter to the CEO of Disney about why their princesses did not wear glasses. This small but incredibly powerful act had long-lasting effects for them both. In the years that followed, Lori has been a trailblazer for her cause and has gone on to meet her own royal princess, been to the BAFTAs, wrote her own book, met Disney writers and directors, and started a charity to support those who cannot access eye tests or glasses. For someone so young, Lori is incredibly accomplished, and her mum shares the parents' perspective on this journey and the astonishing twists and turns along the way. We've also got an exciting announcement at the end of today's interview, but for now, let's get into it, and we are really pleased to share with you episode 90 of the Rogue Monkey Podcast, featuring Lori Moore, author, ambassador, activist, and true inspiration. Hello and welcome both to the podcast. How are you both doing?
Thank you for having us.
Well, could you give our listeners and viewers just a bit of an introduction as to who you both are and a bit about your story?
Well, I'm Lori, and my story is I wrote a letter to Disney when I was 9, and lots of things has happened
as a result. Yeah, she could never have quite planned or anticipated that this letter, this heartfelt letter, would have made such an enormous difference, I think. I mean, she wanted it to make a difference and she wanted to make change. That's why she wrote it. But I don't think you really thought for a second it would. Or maybe you did. I don't know. Because childlike faith and all. But yeah, so that's what Lori has been up to. And I am Lori's mum.
Cyrilyn.
Well, fantastic. And we've got lots of things to dive into, but let's explore the topic of that letter and why it means so much to you.
Well, basically, growing up, I've always wore glasses and I've always loved Disney, always watched their films. And with my brain, I noticed that there was a pattern and there was no princess who wore glasses. And so, like, I was like, like when I dressed up, I took my glasses off because I thought that was, you know, the beautiful thing. That was perfect. So when I was 9, I asked my mum if I could write a letter to Disney. So I was like, if this is happening and if I feel this way, maybe other like little girls would feel the same way that I did. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to write a letter. And so we did.
Let's talk about some of the things that happened since then. So obviously it's been quite a journey since. So what was your first insight that letter had struck a chord with people and was having an impact?
Well, when it started blowing up on like all the social media, like my mum took a picture of it and put it on her Facebook, and then it just kept on getting shared and shared and shared and, you know, retweeted. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it was very much an afterthought, to be honest, because we wrote the letter, we folded it, put it in an envelope. I literally sealed the envelope and we were writing the address on it. And then I suddenly thought, oh, I ought to take a photograph of it, because I remember doing something when I was a child. And the fact that I had had a copy of it was like lovely to look back on. So I literally just thought it'd be fun to first look back on when she's 21 and see that she did this. But I'm really glad I did. So I took it out, took a quick picture of it, and obviously we sent it, and we waited, and we did send it recorded delivery, so I knew it had arrived. And when we didn't get a response for quite a long time, I just kind of thought, oh, I'll pop it on my Facebook just to show, obviously, my friends and family just what she'd done, and just so that really they could see and just say, oh, that's great, Lori, like, well done for doing something. And did not expect at all that it was going to, as Lori put it, blew up. But yeah, it very quickly just went viral, and couldn't have anticipated that, really. But I think the fact that it went viral is what made me realise that it did, like what you were asking about, strike a chord in people's hearts, because so many people read it and thought, oh, yeah, like, why is that? Like, or for some people like me that aren't, like, I'm not a glasses wearer, I think something that perhaps I've never considered, then there'd be other people that are glasses wearers who were adults that read it and went, do you know what? I've wanted this my whole life for someone to actually do something about this. And so we did then subsequently have loads of people getting in touch just to say, wow, like, thank you, Lori, for standing up, because they wished that they had somebody standing up when they were young, you know, and making a difference. And so, yeah, kind of that's really, it was as soon as we put it online, wasn't it?
And the thing is, I wasn't really thinking it, that adults would be impacted by it. I just thought, you know, little girls who watch them, like the movies now. But I'm so glad that I actually, you know, got hold of the adults' hearts and was like, oh, yeah. So it means it's like, was an even bigger difference.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what happened after it went viral, because I think it's one thing, a post getting a lot of likes and tweets, etc., but actually it obviously led to lots of other things. So what was the first step after it started to blow up online?
Well, I got asked to go on the Radio Nottingham, and so I did lots of interviews and I was
all around the world.
Yeah, literally all the way to Australia. I was like, whoa. And then it grew and I got more interviews, more like TV things, and yeah.
Everybody just wanted to know more about it, didn't they? They wanted to know more about the story. It resonated with them, and I think they just invited Lori to come on loads of different news outlets. So it was literally on the news all over the world, but not because of any other reason than people seeing it on social media. It's so funny, isn't it?
We didn't, like, provoke any of it.
Yeah, like, it all just came.
Yeah.
It was a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how that led to you writing your own book, because that on its own is a fantastic story. And let's talk about what happened there.
Well, I was on the Radio Nottingham, and the illustrator, Natalie Owen, got a hold of, like, asked me if I wanted to write a book. And I was like, oh my goodness, I already have a storyline in my head. So I was like, perfect, yes, please. So she came over, I talked to her about, like, what I wanted the book to be, like,
about. You
spent
all evening, didn't you, writing it all out?
And she just brought it to life, and honestly, without her, it wouldn't be here, and I'm just so grateful for her and, yeah, for making it come about.
And that was good at the time, because then we obviously hadn't heard from Disney and we didn't know that Encanto was coming out.
But I made my own.
Yeah. So she was like, oh, it doesn't matter if they respond or if they don't. Let's do something that makes a difference. Let's put a tool in people's hands that actually, you know, people can read and be inspired by and see themselves in a book, you know. So that was that, wasn't it?
So let's talk about Encanto, and what was the first whisperings you had that was in the pipeline, and then obviously it led to lots of other things, but what was your first connection to that film?
Well, my dad was like, look at this, and it was the trailer of Encanto, and he was like, what do you notice? I was like, she has glasses. And
quite the moment.
Yeah. And I was just hoping that she would continue wearing her glasses until the end, because normally it's like when you become, you know, at the end, it's like an amazing, you take your glasses off, break them, you know. But
that's what's been stereotypical, yeah, isn't it? In a lot of movies.
So I was just fingers crossed, and I was like, oh, please. And then I watched the film with my dad again, and I was like, yes, she didn't take her glasses off.
It was a big moment.
It was very fun.
Yeah.
Well, I watched the BBC interview where you then got the invite from the director. So let's talk a little bit about that whole experience, because again, there's a big difference between social media and walking the red carpet. So let's talk about your experience there.
Yes. Oh my goodness, I don't think I have any words to describe it. Still, it's been a year and I still am like, whoa, I just did that. But honestly, it was so amazing and such a one in a lifetime experience. and I loved it. I loved meeting Jared, and he was so kind. We actually still are in touch. And yeah, the interviews were very nerve-wracking though, but hopefully I did a good job. But yeah, I got to meet so many people, got to meet Marvel, like the cast, and I was like, it was very overwhelming, but also so fun, and I had a blast.
It was good, wasn't it? Good. You weren't feeling particularly well, though, were you?
No.
I felt sorry for her because it was like a big moment, and she's like,
I want to go to bed.
We didn't tell anybody that, though.
It didn't come across in any of the coverage that it was anything less than awesome. So that's really interesting. And I guess the step from there is obviously then all of the other things that have come off the back of this. So your various, the charity work and the ambassadors and meeting royalty and the Commonwealth stuff. So let's talk about some of the other highlights besides the film and the book.
Oh yeah, I got to meet like royalty, which is, for one, crazy. Yeah, the council, she's so lovely. But honestly, it was like, I was nine, I didn't even publish the book, and I got to meet her, and I was like, oh my goodness. And then I got to meet her for a second time, and I won an award, and I was so honoured and so grateful that I actually got to experience that twice as well, and also get an award, which I was not expecting whatsoever, but it was so lovely, and I'm very blessed.
They invited Lovie to come and talk at this, you know, the Commonwealth kind of summit that they had. And it was in Westminster, wasn't it?
Yes.
And it was on her brother's birthday. So we were like, oh, are we going to be able to go? Like, oh, can we get away with that?
He came with us.
He came with us. And so we got away with it. And they said, oh, you know, I'd very much like it if Lovie could say a few words while she's here. So in her mind, she was just going to give a little speech, and then of course she did what she wasn't expecting.
I was asked to stay on. I was like, oh, do I have to say something else?
She wasn't expecting to be presented with that award, but that was really lovely, wasn't it?
It was a massive surprise as well.
That's absolutely fantastic. And I'm going to direct a few of the questions over towards Cyrilyn now, because I think from a parent point of view, this must have been a bit of a surprise, because the social media world is very new for a lot of people. And to have that experience for your daughter, and then you kind of getting dragged through it as well, what's it all been like?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a whirlwind, to be honest. I think it all happened really so fast. And I think nothing really prepares you for that. So it's quite interesting, because she did some more things quite recently, and people spent time with her, like kind of preparing her for some interviews and things, saying, you know, they might ask you this or they might ask you that. Of course, the first time round, we had none of that. We were very green, and we probably said yes to too many things just because we felt we couldn't say no, you know, and everybody wanted to talk to her. And it was just really like, whoa. But I also tried very hard to protect her and not do absolutely everything, and, you know, try and pace things a little bit. And things like social media, so she was obviously too young to have social media, but people were looking for her on social media. So we set up an account, like, in her name, which I kind of monitored.
She's been my mama, Jen.
I have. I've just monitored it. So to protect her, really, because I think it's just, well, you don't want to get sucked into all of that social media stuff just yet.
I'm very grateful for her.
So I show her see messages and things of significance, but it isn't something that she kind of is on all of the time, which is then ironic because, of course, recently she did write to, who did you write to?
The recently? Emoji.
Yeah, about the emoji thing. I'm not sure if you've seen that.
Yeah.
But, and then some people's first reaction to that was like, oh, get off your screen, which made me laugh because she doesn't actually spend a lot of time on her screen.
Well, not on.
But that's perception and reality for you, isn't it?
So from, again, a parent point of view, what's it been like reflecting on this experience? Because I think, generally speaking, for a lot of parents, they might see the impacts that their child has often into their adult years, whereas obviously you're experiencing that much earlier on. So the impact that your daughter's having on other people's lives and in such a positive way, how does that, like, what's that like as a parent seeing all of that for someone so young?
I'm obviously really proud of her, and I think that she's managed to kind of walks that sort of nice road of keeping very much normality in life and then obviously taking opportunities that come where she has a platform to make change. And yeah, I think I felt it perhaps a little bit protective of her at times, you know, just wanting to make sure that she doesn't, it doesn't ruin her childhood, if that makes sense. Like, you know, sometimes I think things, when you get thrust into the limelight a little bit, I think people, yeah, I think sometimes it can kind of take away from just that innocent childhood. And I've tried, we tried to make sure that we keep that, really. But I'm very proud of her. And I think I'm just trying to think of answering that question honestly. What has it been like? I think, yeah, it's been good. It's been a good journey. And I think as a family, we've all learned a lot through it. And we're all really proud of Lowry.
And she got to go to the BAFTAs.
And I got to go to the BAFTAs. But equally, we're proud of all of our children. And, you know, I think that Lowry's kind of thing has been more public than some of the other of my children. But, yeah, I think we just try and celebrate each of them for what it is that, who they are and what it is they want to bring into the world.
That's a fantastically balanced viewpoint. So thank you for sharing that. Now, one more question before we dive back across. What would your message be to other parents out there who have got young people that are thinking, I want to make a difference, I want to change the world, or they've got big dreams? What would your message to those parents be?
Wow, I think a couple of things, really. Number one, never underestimate something which seems small. So sometimes the smallest steps can lead to the biggest journeys, you know, and you just have to allow them to take those small steps. I think that's really important. But also, our kids, they stand on our shoulders. And as parents, we can give them a platform. We can give them, well, everything that we have and more, you know. So they stand on all the work that you've done as a parent and everything that you've achieved and stuff, then you present them with that opportunity to make their voice heard in the world. And I think, so I've got quite a few followers on Facebook because of the things that I do. And of course, that meant more people saw it in the first place. And I suppose that kind of would contribute to it getting out there quite quickly. So I just think standing on our shoulders and also supporting them. So for us, we thought it was important to help Lowry on this journey. And like, you know, for example, with the book, making the book a reality, we knew nothing about books and publishing. And we looked into it all and researched it all and scoured and spent a lot of time and effort to try and make that her dream become a reality because it was important to her. And so actually, I think just kind of celebrating the things that are important to them and helping them where you can to, yeah, achieve more than you could have done, really.
That's fantastic. Well, Lowry, I'm going to come back to you. And a kind of similar question, really. There's a lot of young people out there that are trying to find their own paths in their journeys. And now having had such an incredible range of experiences for someone so young, what would your message be to others out there that are thinking of writing a letter or doing something to impact the world?
I mean, honestly, I'm young myself, so I don't know my place in the world still. But I would say, like, just find what makes you happy and what makes you filled with joy and, like, put your time and energy into that. And if you want to write a letter to somebody, go for it. And because if you feel something inside, like, really passionate and you're really passionate about it and you want to say something but you're maybe not confident, just know that they're probably, even if it's just one other person, they probably feel the same way as you. And writing a letter or doing something that you want to do, it could be a real blessing to them.
Fantastic. That's a really lovely message. And I guess it links nicely onto some of the impact that you've had on other people around the charity. And I just wondered if you could both tell us a little bit about that and the impact that the book and the wider work has on the charity.
Yeah, sure. So Lowry decided that when she wrote the book, she wanted to make sure that we, like, blessed everybody. So she really just wanted to make sure that Natalie Owen, who made it all possible, she got a share. And, yeah, you know, she wanted to give to charity. And we looked into lots of different eyesight charities. And we kind of, in the end, we just decided that if we did it through our own charity, Operation Orphan, we could make sure that the money went specifically to that. And so then that kind of made us, it just empowered us, really. So we did that, didn't we, in the end? After lots of thinking and trying to connect with different people and stuff, we ended up doing that. And it's been so wonderful. So I know firsthand that, so some of the things that we went to, like, for example, site things in London, the site guys that you got invited to come and speak at,
yes.
It was the first time I'd really heard or even thought about, really considered the fact that, you know, there are people in other countries who we're supporting with education and healthcare and, you know, all those things. But had we actually thought about getting their eyesight checked? No, we hadn't. And it really sort of challenged my thinking. And I was like, wow, it's such a simple thing. But because it kind of almost happens automatically for us, I hadn't really thought about it. And I'm not on my own. Apparently, there's so many people that help with education and various other things, but also hadn't thought about it. So that was a really good thing to kind of put on my radar. And then we just decided, right then, so all the projects that we have, let's make sure all of the children get their eyes tested. And for example, there are some people in Sierra Leone, one boy in particular, who I know very well, and he's amazing, but he struggled at school. He really struggled, and he was just in with the little ones for years, longer than he should have been. But of course, it was because he couldn't see. And so when we got his eyes tested and got him some glasses, now he can see, and now he's actually doing really well. And sad that it's taken us this long to realise that, but that was all thanks to Louie really shining a light on it and opening our eyes, pardon the pun, to what was actually going on and how we could make a bigger difference. And so through the charity, we've been able to help with eye tests and, you know, providing glasses for children that need them and different things like that. And we're happy to link with other people too. You know, it doesn't have to just be about our work, but we kind of wanted to make sure that the money went for things around eyesight and stuff. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I've got a question for both of you, because I'm sure you'll have your own responses here. What's been the biggest lesson on this journey? So since that letter went in the postbox all the way through to now, for each of you, what's been your one big takeaway so far?
How to speak confidently in front of people, like a massive crowd, and not with a script, you know, stage, because I'm used to performing and acting, but this is like delivering a speech that you have to create yourself, and it's like putting all the things that you learn in your English lesson into real life. So that's definitely been a very big lesson.
That's so good. Biggest lesson is that we're always learning, you know, there's so much to learn always. I think just when you think, oh no, you've got it all set, no, there's lots more to learn. This has certainly taught me lots of things about myself, about my children, about the wider world. And so, yeah, I'm always learning.
Fantastic. Well, my final question, and this, we can probably both answer this one, but Lowry, I'm really keen on your thoughts here. If you had to look 25 years into the future, when you're now the adult looking back on the next generation watching Disney, what would be your vision for how people that wear glasses are represented?
That they will just feel normal, and they won't feel like they are any different because they can't see. And then they will just, you know, watch like the Disney films and just be happy and like think they are beautiful in their own skin and not having to worry about taking their glasses off to play Disney princesses. And I want my children to feel, you know, safe and like secure in themselves, that's what I wanted to, you know, help other people to feel.
Excellent. Well, that's a lovely message. And I think the point you made around the lesson learned of becoming confident in speaking, you know, I've now interviewed close to 100 people through this podcast, and I can happily say you're one of the most confident young people I've ever interviewed. So it's definitely been a lesson that comes across. So for both of you, we're obviously going to include the link to the charity, the book, and everything else you're up to, because I think when I When I speak to people who have this much drive and passion when they're young, I think that some of the best things are still yet to come. So I think there's going to be a lot of people out there that will be excited to see what that looks like. And I don't know if you've got a closing message for our listeners and viewers out there.
Go for it. Go for whatever you want. And, you know, yeah, you got this.
Well, for both of you, a huge thank you for your time. It's been absolutely fantastic.
Thank you. Lovely to meet you. And thank you all for listening. Yeah.
Thanks again there to Lowry and Cyrilyn for sharing their awesome story with us. The link to find out more can be found in the show notes. We've also got two signed copies of Lowry's book to give away, so make sure you're following us on the socials as those competitions will drop very shortly. We're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok and Twitter. Just search for the Rogue Monkey Podcast. That is the finale to season 11, and what a journey it's been. We kicked off the season quite literally with a professional footballer, and since then we've spoken to a DJ, two professional coaches, two actors, an amputee, a psychologist, two filmmakers, and the wonderful Lowry to round us off. Season 12 is not that far away, and we've got some more incredible stories to share with you. From ice swimming to a virtual school, from professional gardeners to more professional athletes, and of course our extra special 100th episode. Please make sure you're subscribed however you're joining us, and remember, everyone has a rogue monkey within them. We're here to share the stories of those who take the leap, chase their dreams, and ultimately forge their own path in the world. Have a great week, and thanks again for being part of the Rogue Monkey Podcast community.